going to be starting this series called The God Questions, and I think every single person sitting in here has had questions posed to God in their life. And those questions are very important individually and corporately. And the answers to the questions that we have huge implications on our lives, the way we live our lives, the way we move forward in our lives, or the way we choose not to follow God for certain reasons because we don't feel like we got an adequate answer. So as we start this series, I'm going to share from two particular texts this morning. And the first one is Colossians 4, 2 through 6, and 1 Peter 3, 15 through 16. And these passages, as far as our faith goes and our journey and our walk with God, if we actually follow after God in this way and care about people as these scriptures share, then God is going to do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine, fathom, or comprehend in our lives. And the question is, are we willing and committed to allowing God to do things in and through us that maybe we're not even really processed or thought through in our own lives? And if the answer to that is, I don't know, or maybe, or possibly, that's all right. But whatever your answer is to that question, God's answer, I think, will be sufficient for each of us in here. There's these three habits that if we follow in the weeks moving forward, I do believe that we're going to get answers to the questions that we pose to God. And the first habit is this: attend church every weekend. That may be tough for some of us. Oh man, he's putting all these rules and regulations down. No, this is just some habits that we can do and move forward in order to connect more deeply with God and get answers to some questions that we have. The second one is get a part of a weekly small group, whether it be the Bible study that goes on Wednesday or Tuesday morning with the ladies. And fellas, that's not for guys, it's a ladies study. But either of those opportunities during the week will help enrich you and grow you up in faith. And I know it does me. The third one is, how about this one? Memorize a verse of scripture every week. I'm going to have a verse of scripture each week in the weeks ahead that I'm going to challenge you to memorize. Some of you may go, I haven't memorized anything in like 40 years. How dare he? But this is a great spiritual discipline. Because let me tell you why. If we memorize the scripture, what ends up happening is when we memorize, we begin to internalize. And when we internalize, we begin to discover the power of revitalization, because when the enemy comes at us with something, we can combat him with scripture. And when we can combat the enemy with scripture, that if you notice, Jesus taught us this, right? Jesus taught us how to do this. He actually showed us when he was fasting for 40 days and nights, and he's in the desert, and Satan comes at him. What does he do? He combats him with scripture. What if we were able to do that? What if we were able to combat the enemy with scripture? Or even when we're in dialogue with friends and family that don't want anything to do with God, and we're able to interject scripture without people even knowing it, because it becomes a part of our heart and our mind. What would happen if that actually took place in each of our lives individually and corporately? You want to know the revolution that we would have going on within our community of faith, but also within the community all around us? God would start sparking because we have a passion for the word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Those are some scripture passages. And when you walk up the stairs, coming up the stairs, you see those words. South Chatham Community Church. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Because that's what his word is. It'll light up darkness for us. Because this is the word of God. And the word spoken from our lips, coming from our hearts, from our lips, it's powerful. Very, very powerful. And I think a lot of times we forget that. If you have your Bible, open to Colossians 4. In Colossians 4, 2 through 6, it says this: devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This passage of Scripture has four huge, impactful things that maybe we just looked at real quick. But Paul wrote this, and he wrote this from prison in Rome, and all the everything's going on outside in Rome, all sorts of crazy stuff. But he wrote to the church of Colossae, and as he wrote to this church, the Colossians were a church that, like many of the early churches, were in somewhat of disarray. And as Paul wrote to them, he wrote to them from this prison and shared these insights. And they are very important to us in this very age that we live in. And the first thing we've got to ask is how to open any spiritual door. How can God open spiritual doors? Because I think oftentimes we don't really grasp this in our day-to-day life. But God can open all sorts of spiritual doors. And you may say, what is a spiritual door? Well, it's an opportunity for us to connect people to God. And I was at this conference with about six people from here yesterday in Dennis. And I learned this new prayer from this particular text. It was amazing because I'm speaking on this today. And yesterday, there were texts in which they were drawing from to explain why we do certain things and how we need to do it. But listen to this prayer. Write this down. If you have your pen, I have notes in there. Try to take some notes this morning. There's notes right in your bulletin. And this is a really super, super simple prayer. And it's related to the text we just read. It's called the Three Open Prayer. So write Three Open Prayer. And then, Lord, open doors. That's pretty simple, right? Lord, open doors. And then the second thing is, Lord, open hearts. And the third is, Lord, open my mouth. So, open doors, open hearts, open my mouth. Start trying to pray that every day. Lord, open doors today. And you know what? Be expecting God to open a door, a spiritual door, every day for you to dialogue about God. And you may be like, you know what? I don't know that much about God. I'm scared. What are you talking about, man? That's too much for me. I don't even know how to talk about God. I'm just learning about God. That's okay. I got a question for you. Do you believe that God is more powerful than you? Yes. Oh, my goodness. We had only a couple people that believe that, but that's all right. For me personally, I know God's more powerful than me. So I know he can do way more than I can do. And he can even speak through me and like transform my mind and my heart and do these amazing, incredible, fantastic, unbelievable things in my own personal life. And I believe that he can do it in your life too, just as he does in my life. And what's so incredible about that is this, that if we start praying this prayer, not that it's about a routine and about having to do this or that or this. It's not about that. That's what the Pharisees did. They added to the law. And I don't want to be a Pharisee, but what I'm saying is this prayer is so simple. And if we actually start praying it and start believing it, God's going to open the doors, open hearts, and open our mouth. Are you afraid yet? But here's something that comes right from this text that we just read. Pray for an opportunity. We need to pray for an opportunity. Devote yourselves to prayer, Colossians 4:2. Watch for the opportunity. So pray for the opportunity, watch for the opportunity. Be watchful and thankful. Make the most of the opportunity. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. You see, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Care for people. Connect with people. Love on people. Even people you don't really love. Discover how you can love people that are seemingly unlovable. And I'm not talking about somebody that may be completely toxic to be around and really hinders your growth in the faith. I mean, we've got to love all people, but sometimes there's certain people that can really hurt us. Would you agree with that? For example, if someone beats me up every day, do you think it's wise for me to keep going back and spending time with them and getting a pounding? It's not a good idea. If someone curses me out every day, you know what? It might be good for me to go back to them. We got to follow God with that, right? Because we see in the scriptures that the disciples, they were often flogged, stoned, and beaten. Would you agree? Does that sound like a fun recreational activity for you? It's not. But they took their faith so stinking serious that it didn't matter. You know, what mattered most is that they were proclaiming who Jesus is. What if that was us? What if we took our faith so serious that we said, you know what, I got to proclaim who Jesus is because Jesus is doing some mighty work in me and I'm not going to shut up because I've shut up for too long. It's been 60 years and I haven't ever talked about God to anybody. When I'm at church, it's okay, but when I go outside these crazy walls here, I can't speak. My tongue's... You want to know why? Because oftentimes our hearts aren't truly open to what God has for us. And this may sound hard, but when our hearts aren't really open to God, we're not trusting and relying on God when we speak to people. And this kind of prayer may seem completely foreign to you. These thoughts here may seem completely foreign to you, but pray, watch, make the most. These are things in which the early church did, and this is why we're sitting here today, because these men who really weren't considered impactful men in their society revolutionized the entire society in which they lived, but not only the society they lived in, but the one we live in today. And if God can use people such as them, God can use you and me. Create a thirst for more. Have you ever prayed this? Lord, create a thirst for more. I want a thirst for more. And give people that I talk to a thirst for more. Now, this passage in Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always full of grace. Did you hear that? Don't walk up. I want to walk away from the mic right now. Don't walk up to somebody and say, do you know you're going to hell? I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd want to hear that. I think that would maybe shut me off. At the same time, for some people, they need to hear that real straight and direct. And you got to follow the leading and prompting of the Holy Spirit. Full of grace. May your conversation be full of grace. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and it was full of grace? And it was just so great talking with them. And you walked away going, that was just the best conversation I've had. I don't even remember ever having a conversation like that. Has that ever happened to you? Aren't those the kind of people you want to be around? This world that we live in is seeking for people that are genuine, people that care, people that have compassion, people that are full of grace, whose conversations are full of grace, people that are real and authentic, that realize and recognize their flaws and aren't caught up in the flaws, but are caught up in God. So many people are seeking after something and they don't know what it is. But ultimately, it's God. And I wonder why our lips stay closed. I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't even know what the word evangelism means. We were at dinner the other night, and I was telling Kelsey and Troy, it's an evangelism conference that we're going to on Saturday. And Troy goes, "What's evangelism?" And I said, "Well, Troy, it's kind of like what you do quite frequently." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "Well, when you go to your friend's house and you just randomly say, 'Are you a Christian?'" He's asked his friend's parents. He's asked his friends. He's asked strangers. It's quite hilarious, actually. You want to spark a conversation? Are you a Christian? So I said, "Troy, maybe instead of asking that, because a lot of people in America believe they are Christians, say, 'Do you follow Jesus?'" Because what it will do, it'll have somebody go, "I don't know. What do you mean?" You know what a real simple approach is to get talking about God? Ask someone this simple question. What do you believe? What do you believe? And listen to what people believe. You would be amazed at what people will say to you. There are some people in here that I bet if we asked, "What do you believe?" we would be amazed at what they believe. And I pray that our church, this community of faith, will have huge impact on our region. But I also pray that it won't stop there, and that it will expand beyond Cape Cod, beyond Massachusetts, beyond the United States, and connect people to God all over the world. May we not be satisfied with just coming together and gathering together. May our satisfaction come from a God who has saved and redeemed us, and the community in which is building each other up, and then we're internally strong and externally engaged. Internally strong, externally engaged. We come together, build each other up, and go out and connect people to God. And then bring on people back and come back out and connect people to God. The church isn't meant to be holy huddle. "Hey, man, I don't want to go out there. I'm afraid." "Well, what do we do?" "Oh, I don't know. Oh, we just got to stay here. We got to stay here for a little while. Okay. I'm not breaking the huddle." Break the huddle. God's like, "Get out of the huddle. It's time. Let's go to work. Let's go." We're like, no. And we're sitting on the sideline over here. And instead of being in the huddle anymore, we've broken away over to the sideline, and we're watching what's going on. And we're satisfied. "Yeah, you go. You're a pastor. You know how to do it. I'm not going to do it." That's not the church. That's not the church. The church is us. The church is us. When we function together, we have different spiritual gifts, different talents, different abilities. But when we come together, God is honored and glorified because we are using our gifts to honor Him. There's a reason each of us has spiritual gifts. If we're not using our spiritual gifts, I don't think that we can honor God. And yes, evangelism is a spiritual gift. And some of you would argue, "I don't have the gift, so I don't do it." We are called out by God to connect people to Himself. What an honor and a privilege that God uses us, despite ourselves, to share who He is with other people. That's a privilege to me. Let's go to 1 Peter 3:15 through 16. And in 1 Peter, we discover this. I'm just going to share this first section of it. It says, "Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation." What did I just read? I read the wrong thing, didn't I? How about that? I flipped to the wrong section. "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." Did you hear that? That very first part. "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord." That is the number one thing we've got to do. You hear that? We've got to do it. Set apart our hearts and let Christ be Lord of our hearts. So, this is our heart. This is the throne of our heart. I wonder what's sitting on it. Is it material things? Is it greed, selfish ambition? Is it pride? Is it past pains and sorrows? What is it?
What is sitting on the throne? Who's at the throne of our heart? What reigns in our heart? What reigns in our life? What transforms us and renews us and refreshes us? Is it fleshly desires? God's calling out to us. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead. Let Christ's light shine on you.
Whoa. I wonder if we actually allowed Christ to reign on the throne of our heart, like if Christ actually filled us, renewed us, and restored us every single day, what would happen? What would that be like? Well, how would our life be different? And some of us have a TV sitting there. Think of the time you spend. Where do you spend the most time? That's your priority. And it's not about guilt. It's not about all this stuff. It's about, is Christ reigning in our lives? But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against you, against your good behavior in Christ, may be ashamed of their slander. Is our life reflecting and honoring God? And I've used that word honor a few times today, haven't I? What do we do when the door gets open? There's this preparation. Study so you can answer people's questions. We may not have the answer to everybody's question when they ask a question about God. I know I don't have the answer to everybody's question. But God allows us, the Spirit can supernaturally give us answers that, where did that come from? Has that ever happened to you? I know I've been in multiple conversations where I've just been like, what? How did that just come out of my mouth? I didn't even know I knew that. It's fascinating to me. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And if you're in Christ, you have this hope. You have this hope that most people in this world don't have. Because we have this hope, may it well up in us. And may it be overflowing so much. If you've ever seen a waterfall just falling down, I've been to Niagara Falls, and I thought, what if I was in a boat and I went flying off the edge? That would be crazy, man. Why don't I try that? I'll go get that boat. No. But it's so huge and so loud. I've thought this when I came upon it and saw it. I was blown away. And I said, can you imagine? To one of my friends, I said, can you imagine being the first person to find this? Da da da, I'm just fishing. What is that noise? What is going on? What? Ah! try, paddle, 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 paddle. And then over the fall. It's so powerful that you go over the fall and you weren't even ready for that. What was that? I wonder how many people that happened to. But imagine me, someone that came upon that. You heard this loud, because that's what it sounds like. And you come upon this fall. These waters are just flowing. Imagine what that was like. It must have been just, what? How is this happening? How is all that water flowing and just keeps going and going? We should be like Niagara Falls. And the hope in us should just overflow. And people, they should hear, not because we talk so much, but because it's obvious that we have this hope welling up in us. And we speak with grace, and we honor God with our lips and our heart and our minds. And what we look at, we're not satisfied with looking at things that are contrary to God. I think a lot of times we've come to a place that we're okay with some of this stuff. How about presentation? Respond gently so they can hear your answer. Not aggressive. I can't believe you don't believe this. What are you doing? Oh, this is crazy. Right? Right then, shut down. But respond gently. But do this with gentleness and respect. When someone knows you respect them and you care about them, it opens up all sorts of dialogue. I used to play basketball at the gym with a bunch of different guys, and some of those guys were pretty rough. They were pretty good players, but a lot of them had tattoos all over them. And whenever I see somebody with a tattoo that is a cross or a crucifix, I say, what's that all about, man? To this date, I think I've spoken to 59 people with tattoos of crosses, whether it be on their hand, whether it be on their forearm, whether it be here, whether it be here, whether it be here. I've seen a guy with a cross right here. What I say is this. What is that? What is that cross all about? I've had two people that have said, well, it's about Jesus dying on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. Two out of 50, I think 59 maybe. The other said, oh, when my great aunt Bertha died, I decided to get a cross on my arm and to represent her. And then I took out the Bible and I started reading, do not touch it. No, I didn't do that. But for the dead, you know, tattoo for the dead, it says in there, don't do that. But some of us may have a memorable tattoo from someone that's been in our life. But when it comes to the empty cross, that is something that is profound, because people are marking up their bodies with a cross and they don't even know what it means. So if you ever see someone with a cross, just ask them what it means. It gets you'll spark some fantastic dialogue. If anyone has a tattoo, just ask them what it means. Have you ever seen a tattoo and just ask the person, what does your tattoo mean? I saw a guy with a compass on his calf, a massive compass. It led to conversation about, well, what's the direction in your life, man? You have direction on your leg. What's your life like? We got into dialogue about spiritual matters like this. It was like that. It wasn't. And it can happen through anything. Someone's wearing a t-shirt that says a university on it. Oh, did you go there? Boom, you automatically start talking about things. And God, if you pray that God will enable you to know when you're in a divine appointment, and that simple prayer I just shared, those three little things. God's going to do it. Do you believe that God can do anything? Do you believe that God can take the fear from us and allow us to speak to people we don't feel comfortable with? Do you believe that even though you think that your friends will maybe disown you or call you an idiot or crazy or whacked out for believing in God and talking about God, do you think that God can still reshape their lives? Do you believe that our God is a God that can save people that we think can't ever and won't ever be saved or set free? And what does saved even mean? We throw around all these terms. What are we saved from? Sin. What is sin? Sin is separation from God. What is so amazing and so incredible and so beautiful about God is that His grace is sufficient for me and for you. And He desires to revolutionize our lives. And part of it is following through with what He desires us to do in our life. And some of you are scared to death of sharing your faith with people. Some of you are so early on in your faith that you don't even know how to do it. The Spirit can enable you to do so much. What do you do when the door gets open? Well, how about reputation? Ask this question to yourself. What is my reputation like with people that don't know God? Because one of the things people typically use is that within the church, there's a lot of hypocrisy. And that's why I don't go, that's why I'm not religious, okay? But it's not about religion, it's about relationship. And God's about a relationship with you and with me. He wants us to have an intimate connection with Him. So what's our... Be righteous so people will believe you. And this is not talking about being more righteous than somebody else, being all swollen and thinking you're more righteous than somebody. It means be right with God. That sin, all that stuff you wrestle with, confess it, repent, and move toward God. Move toward God. Move toward God. You're going that way, go that way. Oh, you start going back that way? No. I am not going to be satisfied any longer with the sin that hinders me. God, I am following you. All right, God, here I go. Boom, I'm following you, God. It's all about you, God, and what you can do in my life. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I have had family members slander me because of my faith. I'll never forget when I shared with my family that I sensed that God was leading me into ministry. What are you, crazy? Do you know how much money you can make doing this and that? And what do you mean you're following God? What are you an idiot? And I'm like, I got into some interesting conversations. This is with family members. I've gotten into interesting conversation with many people in my life. It's a matter of being open to whatever God has for us. What does that look like for us? Don't let fear hinder you from what God's calling you to. Ready? Don't let God hinder you from what God's calling you to. So these God questions that we're going to be talking about moving forward, they are questions in which I truly believe that much of our society wrestles with to this day. And they're ones such as, is God real? I can't see God. How do you know He's real? And then, is the Bible true? Do all religions lead to heaven? And if God is so big and smart and loving, how could He allow so much suffering in the world? Are these not questions that we've asked ourselves? And some of us may be still asking ourselves these questions today. But prayerfully, as we dialogue about these moving forward, God is going to reshape the way we think and process and understand the Word of God. But not only the Word of God, how we relate to Him and other people, and how we connect. I'm going to share two stories from the scriptures. Philip, a young guy, maybe about the age of 14, he meets Jesus and he realizes that Jesus is the Messiah. And he gets so excited that he goes and runs and he goes and tells Nathanael. And when he gets to him, he says, "You're not going to believe this. You have got to see this guy. He's the Messiah." And you know what the response is? "Jesus of Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Is that one of the most negative responses? And Philip's response doesn't seem too profound, but it is. You ready for this? We can all do this. "Come and see." You heard that? "Come and see." Jesus is thirsty and his disciples are thirsty and they're venturing through. They decide to go right through Samaria and they're sitting at a well. And Jesus is sitting there by himself because the disciples went to go get food. And as he's sitting at that well, this woman comes at noon and she goes and she drops her bucket down into the well and pulls it up. And Jesus starts dialoguing with this Samaritan woman. And as he speaks with her, he shares her life with her. She's completely blown away. She sprints back into her village, and you know what she does? She screams out, "Come and see this man that knew everything there is to know about me. You gotta come see him. Come and see." And the village goes and sees Jesus. And as they're approaching, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Right now in our generation in Cape Cod, right now in Chatham, in all the surrounding towns, "The harvest is plentiful and the workers are few." You want to know what's beautiful? The harvest is so plentiful. Come and see. I am going to challenge you with this. This week, ask a friend, a family member to come and see. Talk to them about God. I pray that the series that this God, the God Question series, will connect us more deeply, but friends and family more deeply with God. Let's pray. Father God, some of the stuff we talked about this morning is very difficult. It's very difficult for a lot of us to even understand how to dialogue about you. But God, may we humble ourselves and realize it's not about our fear. It's not about our trepidation. It's not about being confused on what to say and what not to say. It's about what you can and will do in and through us. Father, I do pray for us to be righteous. As to be righteous, Lord, means to be right with you. God, let us flee from sin and truly repent and honor you with our lives. May we not at all be satisfied with mediocrity. May we not be okay with status quo Christianity. Lord, we've created our own Christianity oftentimes. God, I ask, Lord, that we will truly follow after you, Jesus, that we will be a people that are truly lights to a dark world, that are beacons on a hill that cannot be hidden. Lord, allow our light to shine. Allow the words that we speak to be flavored with salt. Lord, salt brings taste, but it also can make us parched. But Lord, I ask, Lord, that people will thirst for you and hunger for you. And Lord, may we thirst and hunger for you. God, allow us to connect people to you. Despite ourselves, allow us to connect people to you. In the name, in the power, in the authority of Jesus, who has saved us and set us free. All God's people said, amen. Amen.